Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on, 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Song Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Special start time today. Our guest should be with us in just a few moments. First, if you're looking for some pro wrestling, tonight, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. NCW in Cornelia, Georgia. PPW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. WCRPW in Wichita, Kansas. NSCW in Franklin, Kentucky. And the SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, WXW in Mineola, Florida. LSW in Peabody, Massachusetts. Magnum Pro Wrestling in Ralston, Nebraska. PWS in Bristol, Tennessee. And SPWA in Pocahontas, Tennessee. And don't forget also, Christmas night, if you're looking for something to do and you happen to be in the vicinity of Indianapolis, WCWO holding their annual Christmas night show. So you definitely have something to do Christmas night. WCWO always puts on a top-notch show Christmas night for the fans. This year, no exception, so you have that. Now, QT, have you spoken to Santa Claus? Have you asked him for a Song Guy T-shirt?
I'm just hoping for a gift certificate to that shop of tea in Seattle, the shop that specializes in tea and tea sets. A gift certificate.
I'm guessing you mean the Queen Mary. And
the Queen
I believe
Mary,
our
yes.
guest is just Paul Roger.
Oh, okay.
Are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can. Well, Cole, thank you for taking time to be with us today. I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Since your last appearance on the show, which has been over 2 years now, hard to believe, but it actually has been a couple of years since you were with us, you've been making some big waves in the business. You've been tearing it up lately. Can you tell the listeners some of the places where they can regularly find you?
Yeah, you can regularly find me at Zoa Live, which is in Rock Falls or Sterling, Illinois. They have a lot of shows that go on there. You can see me every first, basically every first Saturday of the month at Emerge Wrestling. You can see me every fourth Saturday of the month at New Wave Pro Wrestling in Spencer, Indiana. Emerge Wrestling is in Columbus. And then I basically spend the rest of the weekends out of the month traveling all over the United States.
Now, like you said, you travel all over the United States. You've been making inroads in a lot of new companies and a lot of new venues. A lot of wrestlers, especially when they're getting their start, really enjoy the travel. The veterans that have been around a while both love and loathe to travel at the same time.
Yeah.
And when you're looking to go somewhere that's not really close to home, say it's a couple of states away, where do you currently stand on the enjoyment of traveling to the shows?
To this day, still absolutely love it. You know, it's a lot of fun, you know, riding in a car with, usually, okay, let me rephrase that. I love riding to shows with the other people in the car. I love being able to travel and go out and, you know, just sometimes the car ride to the show is a lot funner than the show itself sometimes. So I enjoy, you know, I get to go out and I get to see different places, you know. I love traveling. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I get to do it in wrestling, too. And what other sport can you go out and travel with some of your best friends and see, you know, the United States, and then get to do something that you love while at it, you know what I mean? Now, it's not a lot of fun being in college and doing homework on the road sometimes, but, hey, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Now, you come out of the state of Indiana, and in the last 5 years or so, there's been a huge amount of talent that has gotten their start. There's guys like Jonathan Wolf, Sean Kemp, Levi Everett, yourself, Corey Tower. Corey Storm, my apologies. So many great young talents out there that are out of that region. And when you look at the landscape of independent wrestling, the generation before them still out there performing at a high level. You have guys like TJ Kemp and Jake AO and Apollo Starr and Lennox Norris and guys like that that are still out there at a high level. And now you have the generation after them coming in, and they're at a high level. Is there any type of like professional rivalry between the two generations right now?
I don't think so. You know, Indiana is a great – I don't want to say in the clique, because, like, Indiana doesn't really have cliques, you know. We're all about helping out the young – like, helping Indiana wrestling be as good as it can be. You know, JKO and TJ and Apollo Starr, they're the first people to, you know, give us younger guys advice, or be the first ones to say, you know, say, hey, you know, this promoter, and they'll help you get on shows. Like, the last time I was on here, you know, we talked about, you know, I looked up to JKO and TJ Kemp and Hillbilly Jed, because they were the guys that, you know, helped me out, and now that I've been around for a little bit, I can see them helping out, you know, the younger talent, like the Bradley Prescott IV, like Braden Lee, like Levi Everett, like all these young guys that are coming up. And, you know, Indiana's only going to get better when it comes to wrestling. You know, we have several people that are helping each other out. And, you know, it's only going to be good for Indiana wrestling. I don't think there's a rivalry at all. I think it's mainly about us doing what we can to make Indiana wrestling as good as it can be.
We're doing a very good job of it. Things are going very well out there from everything I can see. Now,
yeah, it's
one of the things that you have adopted since you were last on here is a new moniker. You are 6 foot swole, big match Cole. Now, that's been going on for the last several months. Can you tell us what gave birth to that moniker?
Well, what gave birth to it was from when she had me. And then I never measured my, you know, and one day I realized, I went to the doctor. They said, hey, you're 6 feet tall. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm huge. Like, all right. So then, you know, all of a sudden, like, I started getting called one of the best big men in the area. And now to this day, I'm one of the best big guys in the state of Indiana. And I would say the Midwest. And I think I'm the king of the hoss battle. Like, if you look at me, and you look at it, like, logistically or realistically, I'm a big guy. You know what I mean? Like, tonight, I am on my way driving down to Paradigm Pro Wrestling in Jeffersonville, Indiana, to take on the 7-foot Savage PB Smooth. Rumor has it, even though he's 7 foot, he'll still look up to me. So, I don't know where you're getting the idea of it being a moniker or anything else. I've just accepted who I am. I'm a big guy, and I'm doing the big guy thing.
Now, when you look at the landscape of who all is currently on the scene, not just in Indiana, but the independents where you compete, who would you say is the big man that is going to give you the most trouble when you come into big man versus big man matches?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. See, I am the big man. I'm not a big man. I'm not another Hoss battle. I'm not another Hoss in a Hoss battle, I should say. I am the big man. I am the bar. I am everything that a big man should do. Now, there's a lot of... Now, if we're all joking aside, you know, I had a lot of good matches with Larry D. He's a guy that's been making a name in the United States, and honestly... Larry D's one of those guys that's, you know, top of the line. Calvin Tankman has given me trouble so most of the times that I've had the opportunity. There's a lot of good big guys out there. I just truly think I'm the best big man.
One of the best big men in the last 20 years to come out of that area is now applying his trade not only nationally. It looks like we lost him, QT, so hopefully he'll be back.
Oh, come on. Oh, okay. Well, maybe he right now is in a car traveling somewhere to a match.
He literally said that. He was on his way to PPW in Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yes.
There we go. I believe we got him back. Oh, we got you back.
My bad. I'm on the road, so the signal goes in and out. My phone kind of sucks.
No problem.
Where we left off at. Oh.
Yeah, I was saying that in the last 20 years, the most dominant big man in the Midwest is now plying his trade nationally with Impact Wrestling and internationally, going all over the places, including China. I'm talking about Kongo Kong. I know you have come across him. What are your opinions? I believe he's scared, QT. Drop the call again.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yes. Well, he must have one of those older cell phones. Slightly older. Yes.
We got him back.
I am so sorry. I am aggravated as can be with my cell phone right now.
No problem. It happens. The big man I was asking you about is someone you have come across before for sure. What are your thoughts on Kongo Kong and where he relates to best big man in the Midwest?
Kongo Kong's definitely probably the best big man in the area. He's been all over the world. He's on Impact Wrestling, you know. The guy is just really, really good. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's a guy that I've been lucky enough to wrestle one-on-one. You know, it was a big man versus big man match, you know. It was one for the ages, that's for sure. But I think Kong and Larry D are the best two big men in the in the Midwest area, and they coming up too as well.
He is also the maker of some of the best gear that you'll find in locker rooms anywhere in the world.
Yep, him and Hillbilly Jed for sure.
Absolutely, 100% agree.
Those are they're good example of what good gear looks like.
I like to have Juggernaut gear by Osiris and Hillbilly Jed in my bag at all times.
Hey, you can never go wrong with those two.
For sure. Now, one of the trends in professional wrestling right now is the advent of Lucha Libre. We're seeing more and more Lucha face promotions pop up in the United States. It's gaining a lot of traction as a style of wrestling. Do you come across very many luchadors in your travels?
I've seen a lot of, I've been able to wrestle and learn under some of the Lucha Libre style. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to wrestle a couple of luchadors. it's a good style, you know, to be able to do and see and watch. It's very entertaining. It's fast paced. And, you know, what's crazy is some of those luchadors can wrestle well into their 60s and still do half the stuff that they were able to do, you know, in their primes. That's crazy.
For sure.
So.
Since you do travel quite a bit now and you've been to several states, tons of promotions, everybody that wrestles know that the venues are going to vary quite a bit. You have some really nice ones, some really bad ones, some very strange ones. Most wrestlers have a favorite and a least favorite they go to on a regular basis. What would you say, and you don't have to be specific if you don't want to, but what would you say has been one of the worst venues where you've had to go for wrestling?
Man, that puts me in a position. I wrestled for one company. It was very early on in my career. I will not name the company. I was lucky enough that I was like my second, third match ever. It wasn't for the company I trained for, but I ended up wrestling in, and basically it was this old basketball court. And I'm not saying the ring was perfectly fine, you know, the setup was fine, but one, the venue was in the middle of nowhere, and I'm talking not like, oh, it's just, you know, in a small town. I'm talking like this town's population was underneath 100. It was in the middle of nowhere, and the changing room, dressing room, whatever, was literally a closet that was actually a small hallway that led to the outside. I'm talking, there's probably 20-odd wrestlers on the show, and I think you could maybe fit, if you wanted to actually be honest with yourself, you could probably fit 5 people in that dressing room, and we fit 23. So just that alone was almost darn near unbearable. But other than that, like, that's probably the worst one I've been a part of. You know what I mean? But I don't really like the idea of just bearing a show based off of, you know, the venue.
Now, one of the things this time of year that you see a lot of all over independent wrestling, no matter where it is holiday-based themes. A lot of shows will have a holiday-based tagline for part of their shows. You see a lot of shows bringing in Santa Claus or elves, having holiday-based stipulation matches. What's your opinion on holiday-themed shows? Do you like those? Do you dislike them?
I mean, it just depends on how well, you know, you do them. As long as the fans and the wrestlers and it makes money and it's fun and enjoyable, like, that's all that really matters. Like, my opinion, what I like, will be 125% different than what somebody else likes. And that's what the beautiful thing about wrestling is. It's wrestling's an art form, and art's based on perspective, and everybody's going to have a different perspective. I might not like a holiday-themed show, but if somebody else likes it, who am I to say, man, you know, you can't like that. You know, I am, like, I'm lucky enough to be able to promote my own show in my hometown. And in June, we're having a SpongeBob-themed wrestling tournament called the Smitty. It's basically the Smitty Cup, but it's a Smitty Werber Jagerman Jensen Memorial Tournament, and it's a SpongeBob-themed wrestling show, and a lot of wrestlers loved it, but if I went to a casual person and said, hey, what do you think about this, they might not like it, but if the wrestlers and then the fans love it, then who am I to say they're not allowed to enjoy that? So if you want to have a holiday-based show or a holiday-based stipulation match or anything else, as long as people have fun and they make money off of it and the fans leave happy, then that's all that matters.
WCWO is holding their annual Christmas night show next week. Christmas, traditionally in professional wrestling, was always a huge night as far as attendance, because after all the family obligations were done and all the traditional festivities were done, people were looking for things to do. So pro wrestling usually drew a good crowd on Christmas night. You haven't seen as many Christmas night shows as a whole in the wrestling business the last several years. So what do you think about having shows on Christmas to try and to take it, some of that traditional drawing and making it relate to the current product?
I mean, it's, you know, there's traditions in wrestling, but we live in a weird, different society that's more like, I don't know. Can you ask the question again? Because that's, I don't know. I'm kind of confused, I guess.
Just wondering what you think about running Christmas night and making it relate to 2018 as far as something that traditionally did very well attendance-wise, but the business sort of got away from over the last few years.
I mean, there are products and things like trends end, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, people have had wrestling shows on Christmas and Thanksgiving for years, but, you know, it sometimes the trends and stuff, you know, fade out. So, I mean, I'll be at WCW for Christmas, you know, I'll be there wrestling, but, you know, if the majority of your product and your consumers go away from your said product, you know, you end up losing money on a Christmas show. So I guess to try to keep it remain relevant is just put on a good show, have good matches that people want to see, and, you know, that's about the best you can do, advertise, and yeah.
So if any listeners out there are wondering where they can find Cole Roderick on Christmas, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis at the Outlaw Arena.
Absolutely. The home of Cole Roderick.
Now, a lot of fans out there, besides probably wanting tickets to see Cole Roderick on Christmas night, would also like to be able to give the gift of Cole Roderick on Christmas morning. I know you've got some merchandise available. Can you tell us some of the merchandise that fans could potentially buy and give away for Christmas gifts?
Yep, I got a Know Your Monsters t-shirt, which features an accurate description of, you know, me with King Kong, Sasquatch, and Godzilla. We're all in like basically a lineup that shows our height, that shows about how truly tall I really am. I got a new t-shirt out, which, it might not get here by Christmas, but, you know, it's something that you can definitely get somebody and they can have something to look forward to. If karma is real, we are all dead t-shirt is a custom cartoon designed by my buddy Mayday, M-A-Y-Y-D-A-Y-Y 86 on Twitter. He made a really sick design for me, and then K&J Designs made another t-shirt, which is the first annual Cole Roderick World Retirement Tour t-shirt. And those two t-shirts will be available at the first of the year. But if you want to contact me about how to pre-order yours, and that way you have a late Christmas gift to give, you can contact me at Cole Roderick on Twitter and at Cole Roderick on Instagram.
I have seen the artwork for those shirts. They're very, very good quality, so I think you're going to sell a lot of those shirts.
Yeah, I've already had a lot of pre-orders and people asking me about how they can get them, so I'm definitely going to sell out of this first batch very, very fast.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he also has some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
All right, not a problem. Thank you, buddy.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Cole.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not too bad. Cole, I saw several YouTube videos of you recently. One was entitled T.J. Kemp versus Cole Radrick, officiated by referee Bree. And this took place at the WCWO Outlaw Arena. Another video was entitled Gabezilla versus Cole Radrick. Punk Pro Wrestling, A Grave Affair. And still another video was called Brett Havoc versus Cole Radrick. How was the referee Bree in your match at the Outlaw Arena? Do you remember that one?
I mean, I kind of do. I wrestled TJ. You know, I didn't wrestle a referee. But I think she was, I think it was her first match she's ever refereed. Or no, it was a referee. No, I'm thinking of a different referee. I don't know. It may have been her first match she's refereed. I don't know. But I know that for some reason at the Outlaw Arena, every time I have new referees, every time there's a new referee, they generally referee my match first. And I don't know how I feel about that. But it's usually a lot of fun going out there and wrestling TJ Kemp. But again, I know referees, but I don't really remember how they performed in my matches, if that makes sense.
It seemed like TJ Kemp had a slight run-in with an old man that challenged him when he came out to the ring, and this man was probably 80 years old. Not quite the wisest thing to do, knowing TJ Kemp's temperament. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree, but, you know, I don't know. If I was in Vegas and I had money to bet, I might take the underdog on that one. That's a lot of money to make. TJ's going to be listening to this and trying to fist fight me. No, in reality, TJ would probably hurt the old guy, and then I'd feel really bad, and I'd have to beat him up worse than I did. I've seen TJ put in some heavy chops to a lot of people, and I think if that old gentleman got one chop the way I've seen TJ chop, it would have been a bang. It would have been about over. TJ hits hard, you know. And I was talking to the other guy earlier about, you know, the veterans of Indiana wrestling and TJ and JKO. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen JKO or TJ chop, but it is not enjoyable. And not in the sense of it's hard to watch. It's just, it hurts to watch. It's very painful. You can basically feel the thud on your own chest even just watching it.
Now, have you yourself ever been knife-edge chopped by Madman Hondo?
I have not. I am one of the lucky few that have never been chopped by Madman Hondo. I've heard horror stories about how hard it is, but I've never been one to be on the receiving end of it.
Wow, okay. All right. Okay, fantastic. Now, your match against Brett Havoc took place in a ring with a solid red mat and solid red rope. It reminded me of the red football field for Eastern Washington University. Have you seen this red turf for Eastern Washington University as opposed to the solid blue turf of Boise State University in Idaho?
I personally prefer Boise State. I actually like them as a football team, but that's just my own favoritism. But I have not seen the red turf. I imagine it looks cool. Yeah, that came New Era, which is in Shelbyville, Indiana. They have shows every Wednesday, or not every Wednesday night. Jesus, they have shows every third Saturday of the month in Shelbyville, Indiana, at the Boys Club. That's another one of those.
Now, do you prefer the Shelbyville Boys Club to the WCWO Outlaw Arena, which I found was incredibly hard to find? Uh-oh, sign guy, I think we lost him. Hello?
Yeah, it looks like we did. He just dropped it.
Oh!
I think we scared him with that question.
What's that?
You may have scared him with that question.
Oh. It's just that the WCWO Outlaw Arena reminds me of some of those future. What was that one show that took place in the desert? And it was a futuristic outlaw apocalyptic movie with Wendy O. Williams, where she was riding around in the death car.
Was it Mad Max?
Oh, yeah, Mad Max, yes. The Outlaw Arena reminds me of Mad Max.
Okay.
Yeah,
I performed there last month. I didn't get that vibe.
Oh, okay. Well, how about that one movie, Waterworld, with Kevin Costner? That was kind of creepy and futuristic and apocalyptic.
It was. It was also the most expensive movie ever made to that point.
Oh, come on. I thought that was Gone with the Wind.
No. But looks like we got Cole back. Cole, you with us again?
Yeah, I'm so over my cell phone, guys. I don't think you ever can understand. But I am a Boise State turf guy. That is for sure.
Oh, okay. Now, Cole, what would be your guess? While you were off, Sign Guy and I were discussing the most expensive movies ever made. And what would your guess be some of the most expensive movies ever made? And I'll give you a hint. One of them might have been in a apocalyptic look into the future with wet industrial wastelands that look like the WCWO Outlaw Arena.
I mean, I'm not a movie guy. I think Star Wars definitely had a high budget. I feel like the Indiana Jones movies had a really high budget. I don't know. Again, I'm not a movie buff. I'm not really smart on them, if I'm being completely honest. But I'm sure, I have honestly no clue what movie you could be referencing to. You could be referencing it to some Barney movie or a Little Giant sequel I've never heard of, and I could definitely see it.
Were you a big fan of Wendy O. Williams, the punk rocker, Wendy O. Williams?
What band did they sing for?
The Plasmatics.
I'm out of the loop on that one.
Oh, okay. Now, Sign Guy, can you tell Cole what the most expensive movie up to a certain point that was ever made? I forgot already.
Bam.
It was Waterworld, and I don't blame Cole for not having seen it.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you straight up, I've never even heard of that movie.
Oh, okay. Kevin Costner was in it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen it, so I'm sorry. I'm not a really big movie guy. I basically watch MMA stuff, and I'll watch like a good boxing movie, like the new Creed that just came out. Like, I've seen that, but other than that, I'm not a big movie guy. I go watch my sports a lot.
Wow, okay, all right. Have you ever seen the movie Requiem for a Heavyweight?
I have not.
Okay, all right. Well, Cole, getting back to wrestling, your match with Gabe Zilla, as well as Brett Havoc, saw you wearing a black singlet wrestling outfit with one strap and black boots. To me, you bore a striking resemblance to King Kong Bundy. Was he one of your favorite wrestlers?
King Kong Bundy had two straps.
Oh, he did? Okay. I thought he had one strap in several of his matches.
No, I think you might be thinking of Andre the Giant.
Oh, okay. Well, him too, yes. All right.
Andre the Giant definitely had a very big part of my, you know, growing to love wrestling. It was one of the first DVDs my parents ever bought me. And just being able to watch Andre take on wrestlers, two, three wrestlers on at a time, you know, I found that very enjoyable. You know, I can do it. I can beat up two or three guys. In fact, January 5th, Emerge Wrestling, Columbus, Indiana. I'm in a five-way scramble that might as well be a four-on-one match, and I'm just going to do the big guy thing like Andre did, keep it real like big guys do. And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to beat up four people at once. I'm probably going to use one of them as a baseball bat.
Ooh, baseball bat. Wow, okay. Well, Cole, in terms of stature, based on my video analysis, and Sign Guy can attest to this, my video analysis is seldom off by more than a few pounds and maybe an inch or two on each wrestler I have analyzed in the history of this show. I'd say you are about only 102 pounds off King Kong Bundy at Bundy's lightest weight and only 2¼ inches in height off King Kong Bundy's height. Am I correct?
What does King Kong Bundy weigh?
At his lightest, I think he came in at a trim 392 pounds.
Well, I'm 185 pounds.
Oh, okay.
And then how tall is King Kong Bundy?
I believe King Kong Bundy was, let me see, 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah, you know, I stand at a solid 6 feet tall. I'm kind of a big guy. I feel like King Kong Bundy's height was probably had some padding in his boots, because last time me and him met at the big guy convention, you know, I was a little bit taller than he was. But, you know, even though I'm taller than him, he was a guy I looked up to, mainly Andre the Giant being the real OG. But, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, in your match with Gabezilla at the 340 mark, you attempted to step over the middle rope in much the same manner that Big John Studd stepped over the top rope in one of his matches with Andre the Giant. I suspect that the reason you did not succeed in stepping over the second rope was the owner of the Punk Pro Wrestling organization did not give you a chance to warm up enough, and I heard that about 6 months prior to this match, you had a slight hamstring injury, and you felt a twinge when you attempted to do so, so you decided not to step over the second rope. Am I correct?
I mean, I was just too big to fit in between the middle and top rope, so it's just a lot easier for a big guy like me just to get over and just to step over the top rope. It's a lot easier, it's a lot faster, a lot more efficient. You know, I'm too big to go in between that middle rope, so.
Yes. Now, granted, it does show you stepping on the bottom rope at the 348 mark, but I saw the bottom rope sag quite a bit because it was not tied tight enough to the turnbuckles. So, in my estimation, by stepping on this bottom rope, you only gained about 3 inches in height, maybe 4. And you cleared the top rope like Big John Studd did. Do you yourself believe Gabezilla was impressed by this? Would you say that when you cleared the top rope?
I mean, I personally, I didn't step on no bottom rope. I think that's a figment of imagination. I mean, maybe it was wishful thinking. Maybe it's funky footage. I don't know. I know Gabezilla was very impressed when we stood the face-to-face. He was looking at my chest. And he had to look up and look me in the eyes. And I get it. It's all right. I understand it. I'm a big guy. A lot of people think, you know, they don't understand how big I am until I get in that ring. But I think Gabezilla was a little bit impressed.
That's true, yes. Because at the 424 mark of the match, you finally squared off against Gabezilla and said, "You want to call out the biggest guy? Well, Gabezilla, look here, little man. I'm pretty darn tall, and you were about the same height. You took your hand, and you measured the angle between the top of your head and Gabezilla's, and I saw an almost level plane, only slightly downhill. The cameras, in my opinion, made it worse." And when you did step up to Gabezilla, I was reminded of the time when the Big Show was in the center of the ring and he called out a new wrestler, the Great Khali, and the Big Show had to look up slightly at Khali. Do you remember this pivotal moment in wrestling history? Oh, I think we lost him again. Damn.
Looks like we did.
Looks like we did.
Maybe the Great Khali made him faint.
That could be. A lot of people do faint with Khali, yes. Yes.
Was that a reference to Beth Phoenix?
Did Beth Phoenix faint when she saw Khali?
After Khali kissed her in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, okay. Now, there was a lot of that kiss camera going on at that time. Is that still going on?
Not in WWE that I have noticed.
Oh, okay. They should bring that back, yes. Oh, okay. Well, now, Sign Guy, have you yourself stepped over the middle rope at Blue Collar Wrestling? The middle rope.
Constantly, that's how I get in the ring.
You know, I would like to try and high jump that middle rope one day. I've often stated this. Should I approach Tex Thompson?
Sure you have. You might have to pay for the insurance.
I didn't know Blue Collar Wrestling carried much insurance. Maybe Patty
does.
Oh,
yeah, every wrestling company pretty much has to have insurance.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, Sun Guy, you mentioned earlier in our show notes about Ralston, Nebraska, Magnum Pro Wrestling. I wonder if Cole has ever been to Magnum Pro Wrestling in Nebraska.
That I'm not entirely sure of.
Because Nebraska isn't exactly that far from Indiana. What would you say, 2 hours by flight? 2 hours?
By flight, you're probably looking at hour and a half at the most, I would say.
Oh, okay. Depends on the tailwind, huh?
Yeah, that, and of course, where in Nebraska? Most of their wrestling centers around the Omaha region.
And probably Lincoln, yes.
Yeah, which is not very far. But that's not that far. It's on the other side of Illinois, so you have to cross all of Illinois to get to Nebraska from Indiana.
Oh, okay. Now, Sign, did you yourself watch the Cole Radrick Gabezilla match in its entirety?
Indeed.
What did you think of Cole Radrick's choke slamming of Gabezilla? That was quite the move. The announcers in that video were quite stunned. The choke slam.
Well, it is a good traditional big man move.
Yes, that's true. Yes. I wonder what would happen if Cole could time travel. As you can see, time travel is a favorite subject of mine on this show. And he would wrestle Rey Mysterio. How would he match up against a smaller man that's built like a fire plug, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, he does face Calvin Tankman regularly, and that's how I would describe Calvin.
Oh, okay. Calvin Tankman. Okay. Wow. Now, Sun Guy, I believe last week on our show, I mentioned that Kentucky Fried Chicken has put out these fire logs that smell like Kentucky Fried Chicken when you burn them. Since I mentioned this, have you yourself gone out and purchased any Kentucky Fried Chicken Christmas logs?
I have not. Now, does it make the entire neighborhood smell of chicken when you burn these in the fireplace?
I think it does, yes. It depends on the prevailing wind, yes.
Now, QT, are there any statutes you know of that would prevent one from causing his neighborhood to have this happen?
Well, those darn environmentalists, they pretty much outlaw any new any new houses that are built in the Seattle area from having a, I think it has something to do with creosote burning. I myself would revolt against this, build my own fire pit and burn crude oil in it. Yes, to give the finger to these environmental wackos. Yes, burning crude oil.
Was that a reference to Daniel Bryan?
Did Daniel Bryan flip off people and burn crude oil in his house in Aberdeen?
No, but he loves the environment.
Oh, he does. Well, I don't mind if a person is into hunting and trapping. I think Daniel Bryan was into hunting and trapping with Brie Bella, wasn't he?
I don't think so. He's a vegan.
Oh. Well, I saw one show where he was chopping wood.
Well, yeah, for, the wood stove and so forth, but he didn't chop a wood and use it to club a bear or anything.
Oh, okay. That was one of my questions last week, if we will ever see one of those Kentucky Fried Chicken Christmas logs used as a foreign object. Very legitimate question. Yes.
Well, I mean, you could always ask Seds on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Yes, I guess I could. It's just that I'm kind of wondering what the difference between a wood-burning stove and a fireplace is.
Well, a stove you could use to cook on, and a fireplace is used primarily to heat.
Well, I've heard of popping corn in a fireplace, like those Jiffy Pops. Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could cook, like you could toast marshmallows or something like that, but the primary use is heat, as well as a place for Santa Claus to land.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's not the same as burning crude oil, yes, as a show of just blatant, how would you say, radicalization? Eco-terrorism? Why hasn't there ever been a wrestler called the Eco-terrorist? That brings up a very good question. Eco-terrorist.
Well, I'm going to presume mainly because the environmentalist would lynch mob him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Sign Guy, there were no eco-terrorists this past weekend at La Problemita's in Bremerton, Washington. I was very pleased to see Snack the Jack go up against Tyson Tank. I thought Tyson Tank had retired. I was very pleased to see him in the ring again.
Well, didn't he retire right after that match with Jack the Snack?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go.
Yes. Damn. I was slightly disconcerted not to see Darth Carter at La Problemita's.
Maybe he's still recovering from the last time he got beat up.
How would you think Darth Carter would match up against Cole Radrick?
Be a big man versus big man match.
That's true, yes. Yes. Okay. Well, now, Sign, speaking about that, that punk pro wrestling, if you yourself could travel back in time, which one of these punk rock bands would be your number one band to see? Joe Strummer and the Clash, John Lydon and the Sex Pistols, Jello Biafra and the Dead Kennedys, or the Exploited?
The Exploited.
Do you think Darth Carter will adopt one of these punk rock songs for his entrance music? The only flaw that I can see in Darth Carter or his Achilles heel may be his entrance music. Nothing physical, all mental. Do you see a Facebook contest in giving Darth Carter new entrance music? And how many people would participate?
I would say no and one.
No and one? Do you believe Holidays in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys would be appropriate music for Darth Carter's entrance music?
I don't know if you could have appropriate music for Darth Carter to go to the ring with, but, you know, what does he use now, Katy Perry or something?
I think Katy Perry ride the Dark Horse or something like that. Yes.
Is that, in fact, your favorite artist of the last 10 years?
Oh, Katy Perry? Not really.
Yes.
Although I would really love to see Katy Perry wrestle the ghost of who were we talking about? Wendy? Oh, yeah, Wendy O. Williams. Yes.
Now, would you pay big money to see Darth Carter team up with Wendy O. Williams against the Moonshiners?
Ooh, now that, Paw Moonshine, yes. Paw Moonshine.
So you
yes,
want
I
Paw
would.
Moonshine to team with Wendy O. Williams against the Moonshiners?
Well, that would be even better, yes.
Well, what
yes.
do you think the odds of that are?
Not very good. Not good. Not good at all. Yes.
Oh. Well, I guess you could take a petition around at Blue Collar Wrestling and have people sign it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it. Yes. Hey, I got to admit that Paul Moonshine has come back from several serious injuries, though. His recuperative powers are very good.
That's true. Remember when Tommy Celsius threw that mysterious powder in his face and you weren't sure what it was?
Yeah, I believe I was going to have that tested.
What were the results?
I'm not sure. I think it was a mixture of this drug. Well, yeah, this fentanyl that's going around by China. Fentanyl. Yes.
Wow. They should have really suspended Tommy Celsius for that.
Yes, I think Tommy Celsius would be stunned to know that it was a mixture of crushed catnip, fentanyl, and Vicks Vapor Rub. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. A very, very tragic three-part combination. Yes. Fentanyl.
Now, do you know this from having it thrown in your face?
Oh, that'd be terrible, yes. That would have me seeking psychological counseling, yes. I would be more devastated, even if I was kicked out of Patty's home plate for some reason. Yes.
Now, let's say you were to try to rush out without paying your bill, and you tripped on the rug and fell into a booth, thus ruining someone's plate of French fries.
Well, I think if I did that, I would let Sarah Irene probably do a knife edge chop against me. Sarah Irene.
Wow.
Yes.
How long do you think it would take you to fully recover from said knife edge chop?
I think I've seen an uptick in the ruthlessness of Sarah Irene in the past few weeks. I think Sunny Days found that out at La Problemita's. She had several moments of stunned silence, as you can remember, in the ring.
Sarah Irene also recently captured the Pacific Northwest Women's Championship.
That was at Blue Collar Wrestling this past Sunday. Yes.
A few Sundays ago, she actually won the title.
Didn't she pour something over Sunny Days' head?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. I've got to do some more video analysis. Yes.
Now, speaking of analysis, where can we find this week's top 9 and 7/8 wrestler rankings? I'm sure several sports entertainers in the area are looking very hard for those.
I just sent out a message to Dave the Beast Barnett, if I could publish that. Yes.
Any word from Beast yet?
Not yet. I think he's in the middle of cooking something. Yes. I think he's cooking a fruitcake. He's the only man in Indiana that produces his own fruitcakes. Did you know this?
I was not aware.
Well, Rex Sharp doesn't. And speaking of Rex Sharp, is there any chance that you will be bringing back your podcast with him?
Not to my knowledge at this point.
Oh, okay. Damn. Oh, okay.
Now, QT, how much would you pay to hear a podcast every week between Beast Barnett and Cole Roderick?
Ooh, that I think I'd pay $3 an episode, up to $3.
Well, that's not bad.
How's Dave Barnett's new gig at the deli coming? That's what I want to know. New job at the deli.
I hear the coffee's fairly decent.
Is there any chance that he could hook me up with some free samples of chopped liver?
Possibly.
Is it like a Jewish deli? That's what I want to know.
I'm not sure. I don't believe so.
Has Jacob Hammermeyer ever visited this deli? Jacob Hammermeyer.
Not to my knowledge.
Damn. I'm very full of questions today. Very full. Yes.
Hopefully Beast Barnett will start responding in a very timely fashion.
Okay. For the first time on the show, I'm going to send Dave Barnett a question and he can answer it. And we'll get and he will probably get back to us before we hang up. I'm going to start typing right now. I am in touch with him. He has that green dot. Here we go. Are you ready for this? It'll be the
I
Jacob
am, but you've done this several times. I'm going to be the first.
Oh, okay. Just one moment. This is historic.
Don't forget to ask about the top lever.
Oh, okay.
Might also ask him how that coffee was this morning.
Okay.
Oh, this is groundbreaking. Should I read from a book while you do this?
Oh, okay.
Oh, did we lose QT?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Should I read from a book while you type?
Well, I am done typing now that my question has been sent at 1:58. I'm hoping I get that check mark that he's probably reading it right now. It says, "Hello, Dave. We are live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. My question is, how is your coffee at the new deli job, and has Jacob Hammermeyer visited your deli?" Okay, go ahead and read from the book.
Oh, okay. Let me go grab one here. Right off of my bookshelf. Now, QT, will you be going to any little free libraries soon and picking up a new book?
Well, we need to get a bagel pretty soon. A bagel at the Grateful Bread. Yes.
Wow. When do you anticipate this? Perhaps tomorrow around 3 p.m.?
Ooh, Saturday. That might work out. Maybe around 4 p.m.
Yeah. Around 4 o'clock, you say.
That might. Ooh, yes, I will keep you posted on that. But it looks like Dave is now. I will try to make it up there. But Dave is in the process of answering this important question.
Well, this is huge. Now, while he answers, I shall read from the book Body Slams: Memoirs of a Wrestling Pitchman.
Okay.
So from page 101, as we headed southeast on Interstate 45, my eyes drifted out of the giant tour bus window. It was my only escape from the prevailing lunacy in this asylum on wheels. I envisioned the world's largest strawberry shortcake as advertised on roadside billboards publicizing Pasadena's upcoming Strawberry Festival. It would be a few months before the annual tradition would begin, but even the mud volleyball game, a favorite event of the festival, sounded like clean fun compared to the slimy swindlers running this show. By the time we pulled into the Civic Center, Luna, who at the driver's request had been restricted to the back of the bus, began gathering her many pieces of carry-on bags stuffed with the paraphernalia that transformed her from Dizzy Dame to Dominatrix. Beverly huddled with the most mortified of her panicky crew for a last-minute pep talk. Although it was still an hour and a half before showtime, the parking lot was noticeably empty. A few women were strolling around the barbecue pavilion while others congregated on the picnic area. As the bus pulled up to the building's rear entrance, I wondered how Berg was planning to fill the 3,000-seat convention center on such short notice. After all, an all-women wrestling show was a new twist to the typical event in Pasadena. This wasn't the rodeo and livestock show. It was a departure from the Strawberry Festival, and this female fight affair was definitely a deviation from the Chamber of Commerce's Family Fall Festival. So
wow.
Has he replied yet?
What's that?
Has he replied yet?
Yes, he said it is very okay, and maybe he has visited a McAllister's, just not my McAllister's.
Very interesting from Beast.
And then I said, can I publish this week's top 9 7/8 TT rankings on your Facebook page? But he hasn't quite replied just yet.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wait a sec. I just got a check mark. He's in the process of replying.
Oh, good.
Oh, he says absolutely.
Uh-huh. Now, will these be out no later than 5:15 p.m. Pacific time today?
Well, I do have to get a quick nap in before my Tacoma Mall Plaza job. So they might be out a little bit later this evening. Yes.
Say around 10:15 p.m.
Oh, I think so, yes. And Tommy Celsius is also in the running. Yes, Tommy C.
He did beat Stan Styles.
Stan Styles, yes. Oh, okay. Yes, very good. All right. Something tells me we may or may not be off the air.
We're getting down to the end here, so I will wrap this up. Thank you to Cole Roderick for calling in and talking to us from the road. And if you want to find him, he's at PPW in Jeffersonville tonight. He'll be at the Outlaw Arena on Christmas night. Great young talent. You should get out there to support him. We'll be back with you Sunday with our Pacific Northwest star, Seds, 1/3 owner of Combat Pro Wrestling. And then a week from today, we're going to be taking a bit of time off for the holiday season. No show for us next Friday, but you got Sunday to look forward to. And then the following Sunday, we will be back. So make sure you plan to join us, and we'll talk to you then.